98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
All of the big stories all in one spot. The 4 o'clock reset every day here on the Burns and Gambo show. Our reactions to the stuff we've been talking about all day here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station, starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks completing the three-game sweep of the Atlanta Braves with their 4-1 victory today, getting another home run from Christian Walker, getting nine strikeouts from Luke Weaver.
And the bullpen.
And the bullpen was fantastic. Yeah. No Archie because he had the two innings last night. They've used a lot of Holland. So today, Yoshi Hirano got the save in that victory to the D-backs.
Listen, they're above 500. The offense is delivering. You're getting good pitching. And their bullpen has actually been really good. There was some hiccups early with the bullpen, but the bullpen as of late has been very, very good. Bullpens around baseball have been imploding, but the Diamondbacks bullpen, for the most part, has been very good.
Well, just look at this series compared to the Braves.
Oh, the Braves bullpen was awful. The
Braves bullpen has basically been doing it to themselves.
Biddle walked in to go ahead, walked three guys last night, including a go-ahead run.
Christian Walker with his two-run homer in the seventh inning. He went 419 feet, by the way. His six homers in the seventh inning or later are tied for the third most in a season by a Diamondbacks rookie, okay? And the season isn't even a month old. And he was already tied the rookie record for home runs hit in the seventh inning or later.
On pace for 51, Burnsy. On pace for 51 homers.
I'll take the under.
I know you will, but I'm just
saying.
And
so will you.
That's what he's on pace for right now.
But if you want to bet on that, man, we can write that right now in the book if you want.
It just shows what kind of start he's off to, that he's on pace for 51.
I'll tell you what.
Nothing else.
I'll give you 41 if you want. I'll go 10 less than what he's pacing for if you want.
I'm not going there. I don't know what type of player he is. I don't have a great feel, but I'm hopeful that he's going to be really good.
I'm just trying to goad you into it. I'm disappointed you didn't take the bait. I really thought you were going to take the bait on this one. NBA tonight, three games. The 76ers taking on the Nets. Jordan just popped in here and told us that Joel Embiid showed up about 65 minutes before tip-off in street clothes, so no word on his availability or not. The series is tied 1-1. It's kind of an odd...
Oh, they don't like each other. I mean, because you had Simmons and Embiid laughing about an elbow that Embiid threw, and then LeVert got very upset with that. So the Nets won the first game. 76ers took the second one. Now they're in Brooklyn. So, yeah, this is... These two teams do not like each other, put it that way.
No, they do not. Embiid is dealing with a knee injury. There's be no reason to think that he wouldn't play tonight, other than the fact that he showed up just about an hour before tip-off and was still hanging out in street clothes. The other two games tonight, the Nuggets are taking on the Spurs. That series is tied by game apiece. The Warriors taking on the Clippers. Very curious to see how that game three goes tonight after what happened in game
Cousins,
two.
And then, of course, the Patrick Beverley, Kevin Durant issue. And then if I'm Golden State, I'm like, look, I want to get rid of this team early because I got Houston next round. We can't let this team hang around a little bit. We got to take care of them.
But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show has to do with videos and Josh Rosen related videos. Now, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk about the two videos released by the Arizona Cardinals organization themselves. One yesterday that didn't have Josh Rosen in it at all and got a bunch of national attention, and then the one today that did. We'll talk about that in a second. The one we want to focus on here, though, is the Josh Rosen Sports Illustrated video, an SITV video. It was about 14 minutes long. It was behind a paywall, but they released some snippets out of it, including Josh, for the first time on record to any kind of media source, talking about his future and the uncertainty of his future. Now, we don't know exactly when this was filmed. A couple of references
it had to be recently.
Within the last couple of weeks.
It had to be recently.
It had to be. All right? Because, and for this time around, I'm going to play the full cut here and then maybe replay some of the shorter ones.
Okay.
This is the full cut of Josh Rosen talking about his future.
I think the season probably went as poorly as it could possibly go. But within that, had an unbelievable time. I think when people talk about, like, you can't listen to criticism or don't ever read articles, like, you have to be aware of what's going on to a certain extent. So, like, I definitely understand the situation. I mean, it's annoying, but, like, it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. like, we won three games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And, like, that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. I think, like, the best advice I've ever gotten in life from so many different people is control what you can control. And whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off.
Annoying. It's a part we did not talk about the last time we brought this up.
The national media is really focusing on that word,
by
the way.
He said annoying. This is annoying.
I'm glad you caught that because...
Sure, because we did not... We touched the last time we talked about... Him saying that I you know, want to be part of a team next year, and he didn't say the Cardinals, and, you know, the decision that I want to prove them wrong if they ship me off. But the annoying part, you got to be aware of what's going around, and you can't, but of course he's aware. He knows what's going on. This is annoying. This is annoying that I am, it's literally every day, you know, he's friends, he's got family. I mean, he doesn't know what his future is. He doesn't know if he's going to be in New England or in Los Angeles or in Oakland and in Vegas. He doesn't know where he's going to be. And that part is, it's annoying because you're not expecting. Right now, Baker Mayfield's not worried about, you know, where he's going to put his head on his pillow next season. And either is Josh Allen or Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson. The only one of that draft class that's worried is him, Josh Rosen, mm-hmm. the first round picks from last year. He's the only one that doesn't know where he's going to put his head on his pillow next year.
Do we blame him? For call, was it okay?
No, I don't.
A two pronged question. One, do we blame him for being annoyed by the situation? I think most of us would agree. No, we don't blame him for that. But number two, from a PR standpoint,
okay,
should he have portrayed himself as being annoyed by all of this?
I mean, honest.
That's kind of what I think
honest.
Too. But
I don't have a problem with
but
that.
It's obvious that his use of that word has kind of resonated with some people. Like, Josh Rosen's annoyed by all this.
Sure, well, should be.
I mean, should be
he
right.
Should be. I mean, what was your first question? Do we blame him?
Yeah.
I mean, if he would have played a hell of a lot better, we wouldn't be in this situation. I mean, he could blame himself. Won three football games. If he would have won more, if you would have played better, if you would have had some of those 300-yard, three-touchdown passing games, stopped missing so many open receivers, yeah, you probably wouldn't be in this situation. If you had played well enough the way Darnold did, the way Mayfield did, Lamar Jackson got his team to the playoffs. If you would have played better, you could blame yourself for not playing better. Am I upset that he's annoyed? No, I'm not upset that he's annoyed. He's a human. This is human nature.
He doesn't
know where he's going to be next year. I understand him being annoyed. I'm not mad that he's annoyed.
And that was more the question that I was going for. Should we be upset for any reason that he's annoyed by the speculation? And I'm not, but I do wonder. It's become very clear that a lot of PTI talked about it. They were talking about it on SportsCenter a second ago, and they were really hyper-focused on the annoying word. I'm more hyper-focused on the whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off. And that is the very first acknowledgement that we've had of this lingering possibility. And I said this before, I'll say it again. Today, when I saw that video, was the first time I felt, I had an emotional reaction and I thought, oh, he's gone. Like, today was the first time.
I'll buy that.
You know, maybe not rationally. Maybe it's in fact, I will say, it's irrational to come to that conclusion based off of this video. But from an emotional, because we're fans, right? And fans bring your emotion into this. Watching that video emotionally, the first thing I thought of is, well, he's gone.
You know what the first thing I thought of was? I thought there was a chance that maybe they went to him and they said, hey, listen. Don't believe anything you hear. This is our plan. You're our guy. We believe in you, but we're going to play this up. We're going to bring this kid in. We're going to try to trade this pick. We're going to do everything to make it seem like this kid is that Cliff loves him and this kid's the cat meow. And we're going to try to turn this into five picks. So, but he didn't come off as like he knew anything like that happened. He came off as very, very concerned about where he's going to be next year with no knowledge of what is going to happen to him at all.
Yeah, this video, if this was part of the quote-unquote plan, boy, he went above and beyond with what he did in this video, which makes me think you're right. This
no,
is
he's
not
no
part
great
of the
actor.
Plan.
Okay,
yeah.
He's no great actor.
And
he doesn't know.
And the part where he said this.
Like, we won three games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And, like, that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete.
His use of the phrase a team obviously stands out. Instead of the Cardinals, he says a team. But talking about how winning is intoxicating, it's almost like he's telling the other 31 teams, hey, I want to win. I want to win for you. I love to win. Winning's awesome. Winning's, we won three miserable games last year, and I loved every minute of it. I want to come win for you because I love winning. It's almost like he's selling himself in a job interview type situation.
Right, so let me ask you the million-dollar question.
Sure.
We're going to have to get into this later. Does anything that you heard make you feel like they should keep him?
There is nothing in that video that would concern me if I were the Cardinals and prevent me from wanting to keep him as my franchise quarterback. Nothing.
No, did he say anything that could tilt it towards keeping him instead of trading him?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. Meanwhile, I do want to remind everybody that the 9th annual Larry Fitzgerald Double Play Celebrity Softball Game returns to Salt River Fields on Saturday, April 27th. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets and for complete info. The Cardinals might have finished 2018 in last place, but heading into the NFL draft, they lead the league in propaganda. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The Arizona Cardinals, last in the NFL, but first in propaganda.
They are. The propaganda machine.
If they gave out trophies for propaganda, the Arizona Cardinals would have a couple of them in that trophy case by now. Today and yesterday, it's been funny to watch. And here's the thing, and you feel the same way. I'm not annoyed by it. I'm not angered by it. It doesn't bother me one bit. I'm entertained by it. I think it's funny. I've really gotten a kick out of watching all of this go down. But last night, I think it was about 6:30. The Cardinals sent out as teams do, through social media, a promotional video touting their 2019 schedule, right?
Yes.
And in the video, it was well done, as most of these videos are. And it was a collage of different videos and snippets and things like that. And there's David Johnson, and there's Patrick Peterson, and there's Chandler Jones, and there's Larry Fitzgerald. And it was obvious. I mean, just noticeably, visibly, almost immediately obvious as soon as you got done watching it. There was no Josh Rosen in that video.
No.
There was a brief...
There wasn't Josh Rosen in the
video. ...flash of Josh Rosen throwing a touchdown pass to somebody, but it was focused more on the guy who caught the touchdown and not Josh Rosen. All right.
So instead of, like, you know, getting amped up about the season, we're getting amped up on, oh my God, why was Josh Rosen not in the video?
Totally.
He must be getting traded. They didn't want to put him in a video because they know he's not going to be here. Why would they put him... If he was going to be here, they'd put him in a video. It was just like... It was bedlam. It was 12 hours of just pure bedlam. Like, oh my God, people losing their mind. You can't even remember one thing about the video, just that Josh Rosen wasn't in it. It was like, hey, that was a really cool video. Oh, that was, I remember some of those plays, or I can't wait for this season. I can't. It was, Josh Rosen wasn't in the video. There was nothing else about the video. Like, the Atlanta video had a Game of Thrones thing, and the Bills had, like, her Tinder switch, you know, swipe left and right, and, like,
Panthers had, like, Raiders a old school video game theme. Yeah,
it was the only thing about the Cardinals video, when you got done watching it, was Josh Rosen wasn't in a video. What the hell does that mean?
So from 7 p.m. last night until about 10:30 a.m. this morning, this was the local and national reaction to it.
Well, make of that what you will, but there were a number of players featured in that video, and you would think that the team would want to promote the quarterback it drafted in the first round last year. Wasn't there. It's just the latest sign that tells you that sometime by the start of the draft, you would think that Arizona is going to look to move on from Josh Rosen.
Adam Schefter, here's Mike Florio.
If you can't put Josh Rosen in the collection of key players that you are hyping as you release your schedule, are you not at some level acknowledging, folks, get ready, there may be a different video next week that has Kyler Murray images all over it that we put on the website to get you to come buy tickets for our game.
And then as if on cue, as if just waiting for the Florios and the Schefters and the Burnses and the Gambos and the Dugs and the Wolves and the everybody to lose
release
their mind about this.
Video number two.
The release of video number two.
Featuring
Josh Rosen. All over it.
Oh, man, he just dominated that release.
All over it. And the way they, and this was clever, this wasn't obvious at first. Yesterday's video focused on the home part of the schedule. Today's video focused on the road part of the schedule. And today's video had Josh Rosen all over it. Now, you can look at this one of two ways. either you can say, man, what a screw up for the Cardinals. They realized about 8 o'clock last night, they put a video together, they put Josh Rosen in it, and they scrambled and put one together at the last second. Or this was, as the Joker once said, all part of the plan. And it, I think, and you do too.
Absolutely.
It was all part of the plan.
Yeah, these decisions, those videos run up the flagpole, trust me. That had to get okay by the major higher-ups, probably even Michael Bidwell, to go out. Listen, this is just all part of this. Yeah, and propaganda is exactly what it is. This was just mind-blowing everybody on what's going on. It's just like, make your mind blow up. Like, he's not in the video. And then you wake up, he's in the video. He's okay. Oh, what does that mean? You know, just trying to figure this whole thing out. Listen, if you would have put him in the video and you trade him, who cares?
Who cares?
If he was in the first video and you end up trading him in a week later, so what? It's a video that people are going to look at now, but nobody's going to be looking at that video in August. They're not going to be looking at that video in July. It's just, it's for now, right now. The schedule just came. Within a week, nobody's going to look at these videos anymore by all the teams. It's just, it's a for now thing. But you brought up an interesting point. Should Rosen be upset that they played this game? Because it is a little bit of a game, let's be honest. I mean, one video, no Rosen, 15 hours later, video with Rosen. I mean, obviously, like, this was thought out. This wasn't like, oh, I don't know why we didn't put him in the first video. We just, there's nothing like that. I mean, it's obviously to get people's attention and to make people think, and just, this is our age. We have digital media. You have wars between teams, digital companies, and stuff like that. They're,
sure.
Right? They're Twitter wars between teams. I mean, this is where we are now in social media.
Yeah, look, that's the only, I think, harm that could come out of what the Cardinals have done. I thought of this last minute when we were talking about it the first time around. I thought, you know, it's all in good fun spirit. It's all fun and games. And hey, Schefter, watch out. We're going to get you. Oh, we got you.
Fun
look
and
at
games
that.
Until there's somebody gets hurt, right?
But I thought about it from Josh Rosen's standpoint. How did he feel when he wasn't in that first
video? He probably got a whole bunch of phone calls and text messages. Dude, I just saw the Cardinals, season, but you're not in it. Like, you're not even in it. Like, they don't have to show you at all. And that's just going to add to the speculation he's getting traded. And that's probably what they wanted to do. And then after everybody thinks he's... I mean, this is almost like Archie Bradley playing that game. You know, closing time. Jordan, yeah.
That's exactly it.
Right, I mean, this is just games.
Yep. I had that same thought this morning. It's just someone messing around with people.
So Archie, one day he tweets out closing time. Everybody assumes he's the closer. The next day he tweets out start me up, and he's just trying to mess with him. And I'm not saying Josh Rosen is irreparably damaged because of this. Okay, I'm just saying that if this was indeed part of a bigger plan by the Cardinals, just to kind of screw with everybody and basically have fun with everybody who's trying to read the tea leaves on how this is going to go, is Josh Rosen somewhat collateral damage in all that? Because
he might have
looked at the same thing and went, oh, man, I'm not in the video. Oh, wait, I am in the video. Wait a minute, what the hell's going on? Or am I just some pawn in this?
Yeah, he's like a yo-yo, man. He's like a yo-yo up and down. I mean, yeah, he's a pawn in it. It's exactly what it is. He's a pawn in this whole thing. And if they keep him, they'll have to, you know, I think everything will be fine. You just tell them, hey, listen, you were our guy all along, and, you know, you're just going to have to trust us and believe us. You were our guy. And if they trade him, then you don't have to worry about him anymore. He's somebody else.
Well, because something you said a second ago, and you hope Josh Rosen feels the same way about this. A week from now, when this goes down, whatever way it's going to go, nobody is going to remember, care, or give a damn whether Josh Rosen was in or not in a video.
No.
It will cease to matter.
That video, I'll tell you right now, you could look at that video after the weekend, okay? Monday morning, take a look at how many people have viewed that video. It's gonna really slow down after that. There's over 500,000 people that have viewed that first video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe you'll get to 700,000-800,000 by Monday, and then if you like over the next 3 months, it's gonna be a couple hundred times it gets looked
at.
And that's it.
And that's probably why at the end of the day, it's really not that harmful for Josh. I mean, is he a pawn in it? Yeah, maybe a little bit, but a week from now, it's not gonna matter. He either is or is not gonna be the starting quarterback. No. Of this football team.
And nobody's going to be like, he wasn't in the video, and then he was in the video. This is like the Alan Parsons Project. Remember the song Games People Play? Games People Play? This mm-hmm. is what's happening. Games People Play.
Yep.
I mean, whether it's Archie Bradley playing games on closing time and stuff like that, or the Cardinals digital team putting out a video without Josh Rosen in it, then putting out one with Josh Rosen in it. It's just, it's fun and games. and people are having a laugh at everybody's expense.
Yeah.
They are. They're laughing at everybody's expense.
How many views is that second video up to now?
It's now to over 120,000. Last time we talked about this, it was at 108.
Okay.
But you're right. Yeah, those videos will stop being watched after Sunday or Monday. You'll be done with it. Everybody will watch. There's no reason to watch those videos anymore.
He came to Arizona because nobody else wanted him. So far this season, he has been a key part of their success. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Jordan Bird, our producer, is standing by with today's poll question.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Apparently today is the day that video killed the radio star, because we've been talking about nothing but videos all day long, right?
Well, speaking of those videos, or at least some of those videos, after releasing two separate schedule videos, one with Josh Rosen, one without him, what do you think the Cardinals are going to do with the first overall pick? 35% say they are taking Kyler Murray. 27% say it's a smokescreen for a trade. 20% say they are keeping Josh Rosen. And 18% say the Cardinals don't know yet.
You know, we've all been looking for hints and clues and ideas and direction, right? What are they going to do? What are they not going to do? Today, I really believe, was the first day where I drove into work and I thought, boy, they're going to take Kyler Murray. Today was the first day where, it was a combination of the Josh Rosen is not in the promotion video. Now he is in the promotion video. The comments by Josh Rosen, the Sports Illustrated, just kind of everything over the last 24 hours or so. Today was the first day where emotionally I thought, they're going to do it. I don't know if I trust that or not. But today was the first day I felt myself.
So is the confidence level back up now?
Well,
is that what it was? The confidence level?
I never put a number on my confidence level. You know, I've never had a lean on this. I think today was the first day I felt myself leaning towards it's going to be Kyler Murray. Does that make any sense?
Sure.
I think today was the first day for that.
Yeah.
They could go Nick Bosa. They could trade the pick, or they could take Kyler Murray. And I don't know which one they're going to do. And most people seem to think that it's going to be Kyler Murray, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the majority of people, 80% or so, think it's going to be Kyler Murray. So, you know, if you want to just hop on that bandwagon, if you go with anything else, if you go with Nick Bosa or a trade, you're in the minority.
Yeah. And still the Quinnen Williams thing, we're still...
I mean, they like Quinnen Williams. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they don't like him. I don't think that they would take him over Bosa. I just don't. I think that they would take Bosa over Williams. So if it's the first pick, I think it's Bosa if they're not taking a quarterback.
In the meantime, the games the Cardinals are playing off the field, the Diamondbacks are playing some on the field.
We erased everything. We just said, let's start over right now and start this road trip off in a very, very positive way. And it was winning game one. And that led to the sweep. And we're not going to take anything for granted. It's onward to Chicago, where we got to play good baseball there too.
So we're the Velo and Fox Sports Arizona this morning. It was a 9:00 first pitch, and the Diamondbacks took care of business against the Atlanta Braves, getting the 3-game sweep on the road today. Great outing from Luke Weaver. He struck out 9 in his 5 innings. Adam Jones continued his very productive ways. He had an RBI ground out early to give him an early lead. Christian Walker, another home run from the 7th inning on. He hit his 6th of the year. All 6 have come either in the 7th or later so far this season. He continued his productive ways, and the bullpen continues to be very, very good for this team.
$3 million is what they signed Adam Jones for. $3 million. $3 million, and he is giving you better production than what A.J. Pollock is giving right now to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who signed a gigantic 5-year contract for $55 million. Well, for $55 million over the first 4 years with a $10 million player option for the fifth year. So at least $55 million. $55 million for A.J. Pollock, $3 million for Adam Jones.
Yep, Adam Jones is hitting .319 on the season. He's got an OPS of .999, 5 homers, 12 RBIs, 6 doubles so far on the season. Is he going to keep it up at this pace? Probably not.
No, but he's not going to slide. I mean, he's a good player. He's just always been a good player.
You didn't let me finish. Yeah. He's not going to keep up this pace, but it's obvious that for what you spent on him, Adam Jones has been a tremendous investment for Mike Hazen.
Yes or no? Better production than AJ Pollock this year?
When it's all said and done?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. I honestly think he's going to give you better production than AJ. This is if both guys stay healthy and play a similar amount of games.
Okay.
I think you're going to get better production from Adam Jones than you do AJ
But
Pollock.
You wouldn't have said that the day they signed Adam Jones, would you have?
I always liked Adam Jones. I never understood the whole knock on Adam Jones had nothing to do with his offense,
sure,
if you remember. He's always been a good offensive player. Even last year, he hit like 285 or something. The knock was just the defense. I never had a problem with his offensively. I thought he fit right in. A.J. Pollock is a good player. I mean, I like A.J. Pollock, but I think production, and I'm not talking about defense. I would not be surprised if when all is said and done, you have better numbers from Adam Jones than AJ Pollock.
But my point is, it's easier to say that now, 3 weeks into the season, than it would have been at the beginning of the season. I don't think you would have said that at the beginning of the season. I wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the season. I wouldn't have said I thought Adam Jones would put up better numbers than AJ Pollock.
I might have said comparable, because I might have said they were comparable. Now, obviously, if you look at Christian Walker, his numbers are very comparable right now to Paul Goldschmidt's. Average is much better. Home runs and RBIs are close. But at the end, Goldschmidt's going to have a better average, more home runs and more RBIs. I feel safe saying that Goldschmidt's going to have much better numbers. But I think Walker could put up numbers that, you know, that I'm not saying equal or comparable, but I think he could put up good numbers if he gets 450 plus at bats.
Wherever he ends up, in some ways, it doesn't really matter I'm not going to say he's already paid for himself, but in some ways it kind of feels like it's already paid for itself with the investment that you made. It was just $3 million. He has been instrumental, has had a hand in almost, it seems like, just about every single win they've had so far. I saw this stat about the Diamondbacks today when I was prepping for the show. It's now 10 wins on the season. At the time I saw the stat, 8 of their 9 wins had been in a game in which they'd been trailing at some point. So in 8 of their 10 wins so far this year, they were at one point trailing in that game.
So they're good at coming from behind. And that's where Walker's home runs come into play, right?
Yeah.
All of his home runs have come in the seventh inning or later.
Yep.
All of those home runs. And listen, they're taking advantage of bullpens too. I mean, they're a well-prepared team. They have good information. They're getting walks. They're moving runners over. They're smart. They're beating these bullpens. And their bullpen has done a good job. Hirano bounced back today. Archie Bradley was good yesterday. Like, the bullpen, Yoan Lopez has been very, very good all year. We talked about him before the season started, how he could be a good key. But it's like the Adam Jones production. Like, if you said to me right now, if he plays regularly, I think he's going to hit 22 homers and drive in 80 runs and hit 285. I mean, I think he's going to give you good numbers. I mean, that's just my guess. I'd go 22 and 80, and then with like a 285 average.
It's been fun to see, and don't also forget the fact that Ketel Marte, 14 RBI so far.
That's like 10th or 11th in baseball.
17 games, yeah. I mean, he's been very, very good as well, very productive as well.
No oops in the outfield.
No.
There's been no, like, you know, we were concerned about that. You know, that was one of the things you didn't want to lose with AJ is his defense. You knew the outfield so well, such a good defensive player. You were taking a second baseman and you were making him an outfielder. Is this going to work? We haven't had that issue yet. We still might, but we haven't had it yet.
Now, I mean, sustainability becomes a little bit of a key here, right? I mean, you look at a guy like David Peralta. Okay, I love Peralta. He ain't going to hit 365 all season long. No, he's not. So you know that's going to come down a little bit. Christian Walker. And the power that he's shown so far this year, he's got an OPS over 1,000. Can you count on him to be that good all the time? We'll see. I mean, this is his first real taste of extended big league action.
No, he'll be up and down, up and down, up and down. But can he hit 30 home runs on the season?
He could.
Okay.
That'd be tremendous.
He could.
Oh, that'd be unbelievable.
But at the very least, they can continue to pick up the slack until a guy like Eduardo Escobar kind of gets going again.
He's only hitting 217 so far on the season. He can pick up the slack until Wilmer Flores gets it going a little bit. He's hitting 213 on the season. We know he's better offensively than that. Their hot start has allowed some of the more experienced parts of their lineup kind of time to get their feet wet a little bit, because without it, they'd be real in real trouble offensively. Well, but those hot starts those guys have gotten onto have allowed the Floreses and the Escobars a little time to get warmed up.
I don't want to not mention Nick Ahmed, too. He's been good.
Oh, Ahmed's been.
Nick Ahmed's been very good for them.
Terrific. So 10-9 on the season, game and a half out of first at this point, on their way to Wrigley for the first of three against the Cubs. I think it's an 11:20 first pitch tomorrow, where the weather is expected to be quite cold over the three-game series.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I was watching a Cubs game like two nights ago. Man, everybody's wearing face masks. Like, it was like every, like, yeah, face, like full face masks on. It was so cold.
Yeah.
A night game.
A week or so ago, it wasn't the Gambo 5. There'll be time for that next week. But Gambo did give you five names that could be on the Cardinals' radar with a 33rd pick. So after yet another Kiper McShay mock draft, where are those guys projected to go? Talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I don't know about you. I am not tired of the draft speculation. I am not talking about the tired of talking about the what ifs or the. I mean, I know we all want to know how this movie ends, but I'm not like, oh my god, we got to talk about the draft again. I'm so sick of this. I'm not there.
A little time capsule, just move ahead 1 week right now. I would do it.
But I am. I'm kind of like you, very curious to see how this ends. What I am getting sick of, I have reached mock draft saturation. I'm like a sponge that is full when it comes to mock draft. I'm good. I barely even check them anymore.
Yeah, you know what the thing? I don't either. But you know what the thing about having the number one overall pick is? You're so hyper-focused on just the first pick.
Yep.
It's almost like you're not paying attention to what other teams want or are going to get or even what your team's going to do in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. You're just so hyper-focused on this decision.
Even it's prospects just, that could be rising and falling within the first round because we're at number one. We're not paying attention to that.
I mean, we know the Raiders have three first-round picks because they're obviously the Raiders are a team we've talked about in discussions with the Cardinals about possible trades. But, I mean, I have paid very little attention to what other teams could be doing because all the focus has simply been on this unbelievable decision the Cardinals have coming
up. And you guys bring up a really good point. Usually by this time, because the Cardinals, you know, pick 13th, 14th, 15th, wherever it is, we are hyper focused
on what everybody else is going to do ahead of them.
And whose stock is rising and whose stock is falling.
Well, think about last year. What is Cleveland going to do? Who else is going to get a quarterback? What are the Jets going to do? Because the Cardinals were sitting there outside of the top 10.
Yep.
And, you know, they wanted a quarterback. So what, you know, we were really, and then the Bills moved up twice to get where they were, you know, so we were really focused on all of those picks before the Cardinals and what they were going to do and who could be traded with. And because it affected the Cardinals. It all affected the Cardinals. Nothing affects the Cardinals now. They have the number one pick.
And because of that, I've just paid so very little attention to who's rising, who's falling, rumors about other teams and what they might not. I mean, I just haven't thought that much. But usually I look at a mock draft and I go, who do they have the Cardinals taking, Murray or somebody else? And then I kind of move on. That being said, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, did a dueling mock draft today on ESPN.com where McShay got the first pick. He went one, Kiper went two, McShay three, you know, Kiper four, and they just went back and forth like they were going up against each other.
But
right?
They each had a first round pick, a second round pick, a third round pick, right?
No.
Okay.
McShay had the first pick.
Okay.
Kiper had the second pick.
Okay.
McShay had the third pick. Kiper had the fourth pick. Yeah. So, okay. McShay was picking first. He had the Cardinals taking Murray. Okay. We've seen 1,000 mock drafts that say basically the same thing. What we wanted to know was relative to the five names that you had identified a few days ago, where are those players falling in this latest version of the mock draft?
A few days ago, I gave you five players that the Cardinals will consider with their second round pick, the 33rd overall pick. Okay, it's not guesswork. These are guys that they will consider. There were three offensive linemen and two wide receivers in the group.
Yep, I got it right here. Chris Lindstrom
from Boston College.
Cody Ford
from Oklahoma.
Garrett Bradbury.
He's the NC State kid.
N'Keal Harry.
He is the wide receiver from ASU.
A.J. Brown.
And he is the Mississippi wide receiver.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So those are guys the Cardinals would consider with the 33rd overall pick.
They'll absolutely be considered if they're there. Now, remember, some of these guys are going to be gone by the time they pick.
In the dueling mock draft, Three of the five are gone by the time the Cardinals pick at number 33. The three that are gone are Chris Lindstrom. Kiper made the pick, having him go to the Green Bay Packers at number 12. Cody Ford is gone. McShay has him going to Seattle, number 21. Garrett Bradbury is gone at number 31 to the Rams. All three offensive linemen are gone, according to the dueling mock.
And both wide receivers are still there.
It's the two wide receivers who are still there, according to the dueling mock. N'Keal Harry, number 40 overall to Buffalo. A.J. Brown, number 43 to Detroit.
There's a lot of debate about N'Keal Harry and whether he'd be worthy of the 33rd pick or not. And I probably, a few weeks ago, and I'm going to continue to say this, I probably thought that he was going to be outside of that. But I do think he's going to be rated as one of the top four wide receivers for the Arizona Cardinals. I think when they do their board, when they start to put their wide receivers together, he's either going to be number three or number four on that list. Now, if no wide receivers go in the first round, I think it's unlikely, but I think somebody was projecting that there might not be a wide receiver that goes in the first round. Then they might have their choice of the number one receiver or number two receiver. I don't think he's going to be one or two. He's either going to be three or four, you know, on that list of where they've got wide receivers. So he's there. Like, it's possible. You know, there are questions about him on press coverage and whether he'll be ready to play right away. But he's a talent that at 33 could be picked. AJ Brown was, what'd you say? He was around
43.
Yeah. Now, he may be 43 on their mock drafts, and some teams may have him as a guy in the 30 to 40 range. Some teams might have him 25 to 35 range. I imagine the Cardinals look at him and have him inside of their top, like, 33, 34.
They've got him graded higher.
They've got him graded higher than in the 40s. They've got him graded somewhere in the 25 to 33 type of range.
Yeah. This is something McShay said about Bradbury, the offensive lineman out of NC State.
Yeah, he's a great pick.
He's the one he had going number 31 to the LA Rams. He wrote, "I can't believe Kiper left the offensive lineman who I think is the most NFL ready for me all the way at the back of the first round. With no more John Sullivan or Roger Saffold, this makes all the sense in the world." He's got Bradbury going to the Rams, number 31. It would be, if it falls along these lines, if all of the offensive linemen go in the first round, it would be curious to see then what's left at the wide receiver position. I don't know if it's going to break just like this, but that was a trend that I just noticed now. Three offensive linemen, two wide receivers, all the offensive linemen gone in the first round, and the receivers are the ones who are available.
I think there's a general feeling that there's enough wide receivers that you could get your offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers in the first round, and then in the second round there's going to be a bunch of good wide receivers that you could get in the second round. You may not have to reach for a wide receiver in the first round because there'll be a lot of good ones there in the second round.
I'm looking through the mock right now. So far, the only two wide receivers I've seen in the first round are DK Metcalf and Marquise Brown. I think those are the only two wide receivers so far. Yeah, that's it. And for the quarterbacks, and there were no trades projected in this mock, Dwayne Haskins, number six to the Giants. Drew Locke, number 13 to the Miami Dolphins.
And Daniel Jones,
number 32 to the New England Patriots.
Again, I'll say this. The Cardinals had him in for a visit. We did report that they had him in for a visit. He was one of their 30 visits, even though it was very unlikely that they would take him anywhere. May have been to just, for comparison's sake, let's just bring him in and take a look, pick his brain. He's a smart quarterback. Maybe they wanted somebody to compare Murray to in this year's class, but he was one of the guys that actually came in for one of their 30 visits.
Yeah. Josh Rosen has finally spoken, and it kind of sounds like he might have an idea on what his future could be. You'll hear what he had to say coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.